I'm gonna explain a picture God gave to me once, and pardon me for stopping the keyboard, but it gets too hard to do both at once when you start really rolling, okay? So just, you can stay in. I'll try to catch this because I really believe God's putting some things before us. He gave me a vision one time of two very great kingdoms that you could almost see as two very great rooms. And he described it when he said, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life." And what he showed me was that as we go in through the door of salvation, we immediately receive the benefits that he died. It says he died for the sins of the whole world. That means anybody that wants to go through the door of salvation can. But here's what's amazing. He died for us to have every biblical promise. And if we are still begging God to do it for us, we have not understood the cross. There are some things that we need to... The problem, I didn't know this, okay, when I was a young believer. And there were certain things I desperately needed that were Bible promises. And I'll be very honest, I was a bit... I didn't handle it well, okay? And I'm sure none of you have ever done this, but I used to be a little upset with God. Because here he said he would do this. Here I'm in this terrible situation. I see him not doing it for years on end. What's the deal? You said you'd do it. I know you're truthful. What's going on? Well, God began to show me that the ball was in my court. See, I thought the ball was in his court. Sometimes I thought the ball was in the enemy's court or that the enemy was the problem. But God began, through the Word, to open a door of revelation to me to show me that the problem was me and that there were certain choices I could make and certain scriptural principles I could walk in that would release the heavenly blessings. And it took a few years for me to walk through the doors of those revelations, but God wants to give it to us in a night if he can. This is what he said to me. There are some systems. He said, "I laid out a system in my word and I'm not changing it for you." Hallelujah. Very thrilling. Now, those of you who know me know that for 39 years I was a systems programmer, so I know about systems. So when God says to me, "I have a system laid out in my word, I'm not changing it for you," that speaks volumes to me. That means there's some things that I've done. I've set up a system, and I'll give you an example of a system. If any of you have a computer at home and a mouse that sits beside it, you know that anyone in your house can go up to the computer and the mouse and move it to a certain icon, what's called an icon, and go clickety-click, and that app will open. It doesn't matter who did it. If your dog does it, it will work. It's a system. Well, there's systems in the Word that will work if we work them. My old pastor used to say, the word will work if you work it. I didn't know what he meant. But what he meant was that, for example, if you're looking for healing, there's certain systems laid out in the word that release healing. And I wasn't working those systems, so I wasn't getting, I wasn't receiving the promise. And so the problem was, I thought God wasn't doing it, but the problem was I wasn't doing it. God is trying to open some doors here to release all of heaven to us. And if I may say it, in a way, all of earth. Because God's trying to get the church raised up to walk in a manner that has not been seen since the apostles. But what did the apostles, people, there's been some doctrine out there, well, it was just for them, that's a lie from the pit. No, they had it, they understood. They knew truth. They'd been walking with the king. He taught them some stuff. Okay? So if we understand the same concepts, we will see the same results. So for example, God was just talking to me about this today. He said, you'll do people a disservice if they see your ministry as just being, oh, she's coming here. I hope she gives me a word. Oh, I got a good word. Yay. He said, that's a disservice. You can give them that and that's good, but what you need to make them understand is that everything you do, they can do, and here's how. That you can teach them, you can disciple them to do everything you do until they're better at it than you are. That's the real thing. Because you got to understand, these gifts of the Spirit were given to all. All. And you don't have to... Now, some people have special giftings. I'm not going to deny that. I was married to a man with some special giftings. But every believer has been given, if they want Him, the Holy Spirit. If they want Him and if they come to understand Him. I had the Holy Spirit for years, was filled with the Spirit for years before I really knew Him. You know, I just didn't get it. Now, He talked to me every day, but you know, I was so naive, I just thought God is talking to me. I didn't understand the difference. Now, why is that important? Because as you come to know Him in a personal relationship, as you develop a personal best friendship with the Holy Ghost, you can hear, don't get scared, 24 hours a day. Okay, you can just flip the switch and hear what God is saying to you. Now, I will say that won't probably happen to most people day one. It's like any other friendship, you develop it, and friendships can only be developed with time. If you have a friend that you love, you can love them all you want to love them, but if you only see them every 3 years, you're not going to have a close relationship. And if you have a friend you hang out with a lot, you'll have a closer friendship with them. You know, if you're with them a lot, you know them well. They know you well. They know what you'll do, how you'll react to certain things. Well, the Holy Spirit, see now, and I know some of you know tons and tons about this, but there's some who don't. So we're just going to, you know, bring everybody into this. The Father is obviously seated. His throne is in heaven. His throne is the center of the universe. Amen. Everything that is came out from that place when He spoke. It is. And there He is seated on the throne. And if we could see Him, we would see love personified, because it says He is love. It also says God is Spirit. Now He has a Son who came in the flesh. His name is Jesus. But in the earth He walked the face of the earth among His men, and He did works of great power. And He said, He was talking to them about the Holy Spirit, and He said, He is with you, but He will be in you. Prior to the great ascension of Jesus Christ, if you wanted to know, if you wanted to get a word from the Lord, you had to go find either Jesus or a prophet. Throughout the Old Testament, only certain people could hear. Prophets. Okay, do anybody need proof? Josiah, I'll just give you the fast proof. Josiah was a king, very young king. Israel had backslid. The book of the law had been lost. The temple was in ruins. Somebody was in there, high priest, I believe, was in there, found the book of the law and brought it to the king. Josiah reads and he says, we're in sin, we're in terrible sin, and he tears his robes and he grieves because he got a good heart. And it says this interesting thing. It says the king, the high priest, the secretary, and another, like probably the four highest men in the country, leave and go find Huldah the prophetess to hear what God is saying. Why couldn't the high priest hear? Why couldn't the king hear? Because in the Old Testament, only certain people got to have the word of the Lord. And so what Jesus did was die. This is so powerful. If you can catch it, you will never be the same. He died to give you the Holy Spirit, not on you, but in you. And the Holy Spirit is all the power of God. That's, if you dare to believe it. Well, why don't we walk in it? Why do some people, if you look at the body of Christ, why have some people been able to master certain giftings, walk in great healings? Why have, and yet we have the same Holy Ghost? I believe it has to do with the revelation that we have. And I'm glad for the day when somebody taught me that the Holy Ghost was their best friend, that they spent time with Him and got to know Him. And I remember this man who talked about it. He said he would spend time with the Holy Ghost and just fellowship with Him and ask Him questions. And one day his parents called him down to dinner, and the Holy Spirit said to him, oh, just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. And it changed my life. I said, that's it for me. I want that Holy Ghost. I want Him. And it's not even about the gifts for me. It's Him. It's Him. When you have Him and when you really know Him and you can hear Him, I'm telling you, there's such a thing. I personally call it a Holy Ghost bypass. But since I don't know a way to teach it, I'm going to give you a couple of quick examples. Some of my friends from Illinois probably heard this several times. Hallelujah. One day, you know, I'm a widow. My husband was an older man. He was a great man of God. We were getting ready to go do a service. Now, he was quite a bit older than me, and at this point in his life, he was in his 80s. And I heard I was standing in the kitchen about half an hour before we're going to go to a service, and there's a terrible crash. I mean a bad-sounding crash. And the crash was my husband in his 80s falling down the basement stairs and landing upon the cement below. I ran down to find him laying on the floor, and he couldn't move. He said, I can't get up. He'd hurt his arm, he hurt his shoulder, he hurt his hip and his knee. He was in pain. He said, I just can't. Now, what would a normal person do? A, call 911. B, call the pastor and say, I'm sorry, we can't do the service. That's what a normal person would do, an earthling. But see, I've been walking with the Holy Ghost for years. He is my closest friend. I flipped the switch and said, Holy Ghost. He said, tell him, if you praise me, I'll heal you. I said, Edgar, hey, I just heard from God. He said, if you praise him, he'll heal you. And Edgar praised God literally all the time anyway, all day. And he said, I give him all the glory, praise and honor. But then he got in the flesh and he goes, but why did this have to happen? I go, Edgar, the Lord said, if you praise him, he'll heal you. He said, I give him all the glory, praise and honor. And I stuck out my hand. He reached into my hand. He got up. We went to did the service. He never had a single bruise, scratch, soreness, or stiffness. Never. Not one. See, that's a Holy Ghost bypass. What if I'd have called 911? There we would have been, we'd have called the prayer line. Everybody pray. There's going to be all these bills. Everybody pray that he'll be healed. We'd have been all over that. It would have been, how long did he have to stay in the hospital? Did he have to get something set? Whatever. It would have been a pain, right? But there's a Holy Ghost bypass. Now, here's what most people do. They go through life and try to manage it, fix it, work it out, control it, make it happen. Here's what I want you to do, God. Do it this way, and here's how I want you to do it. I'm going to tell you what to do and how to do it, because I know everything, and, you know, you're pretty good, but I'll tell you what to do. And then they struggle for a year, and when it absolutely fails, which it will, then they say, okay, God, okay, I just can't make this work. Will you help me? Here's the good news. You can do it second number one. You don't have to go through the year. You don't have to go through a week. At the very first outset of a trial, an issue, a question, stop. Flip the switch, Holy Ghost. Show me what to do. What are you saying right now? I'm telling you, you'll save yourself years of trial. You'll learn stuff faster than most people. I'm telling you, you'll know stuff by revelation knowledge that most people go to school for years to figure out. Now, does it take time to learn this walk? Yes, it does. It does, and the longer you do it, the better you get at it. But you have to be diligent, and you have to come to know him as your best and closest friend. The Holy Ghost hangs out at our house. He lives in our house. He lives in yours, too. But what happens is the Holy Spirit waits for you to get up every morning. Did you know that? When you're in a pickle, when you're in a trial and a problem, and you're calling your friends and crying and moaning and groaning, all whatever, everybody handles it different, he's quietly waiting. Hoping, watching, and hoping you'll turn to him and say, show me what to do. Am I looking at this wrong, Lord? What's your perspective? Am I seeing this wrong? Because, you know, most trials aren't even trials. They're things that we are misunderstanding or looking at them the wrong way. And if we can get God's perspective, whoosh, bypass. A lot of the stuff, man, I really want to go there. Yes, yeah, it's a rabbit trail. Let's say that you've been persecuted and maybe you haven't been delivered from that thing. You know, most Christians haven't been. I wasn't at one time. I was the nice one. Everybody liked me. Edgar was always the one getting in trouble, you know. He was a bold evangelist. He was always in trouble. You know, people got mad at him all the time. Never me, you know. And one day a group of people went after me with swords, I'm telling you, and it was stunning. And the reason it was stunning was I had not understood that part of the gospel was, Jesus said, if they did it to the master, they will do it to the students. And here's an exciting scripture, more than this will they do. Oh, well, the problem was, see, I had not embraced that as part of the deal. I always had favor. What do you mean they're mad? I didn't even do anything. Well, neither did he. Hallelujah. And so I spent 2 months. This is a rabbit trail. We'll get back on track. But I spent 2 months crying because it hurt, because they were some of my very best friends. My armor bearers had a knife I didn't see. And they went and got half the church and basically crucified me to my pastor, who now thinks I'm a rat. You know, and what do you want to do? You want to defend yourself, vindicate yourself, tell them the truth. I spent 2 months praying on that and saying, God, I have to have your heart on this. I have to understand how you did this. God began to take me through the scriptures. He began to show me Jesus. Jesus was like this. He was never moved. They hated his guts. He went right into the temple and said it to their face. Ooh, we don't do that anymore. That's just not done, you know. You know, you just don't. It's not done. But he did it. John the Baptist did it. Could any of us? I don't think I could. My husband could have and did. I'm sorry to say. But Jesus was not afraid. He had no fear of man and no need for man's approval. And God took me to Mark 3, and in certain translations it's more clear than others, but in Mark 3 you'll see four people groups all in a row, probably within a day or two, that all come against him: the scribes, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and finally his family. His family, so he's getting nailed from every direction. And the clincher for me was his family comes to the door to collect him because he's beside himself. That's King James for he's out of his mind. The poor dear, we've brought the straitjacket and the paddy wagon. He's gone a little too far. Now this is his family, including Mary, who had the angel visit her and say, this is the one. This is him, this is it. But she didn't, we think we have God's stuff all figured out in an earthly way, don't we? God gives you a vision for something you're going to do, and I'm guilty, I've done it. He tells you you're going to do something, and we make it what we think it's going to be. We add to it, we glorify it, it's going to be the world's biggest revival. And after a few years, we realize God isn't exactly doing that, and then we go back and say, what are you really doing? Well, see, Jesus had the plan of God. His family comes to the door to collect him. He doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't go to the door. He doesn't cry. He doesn't whine. He just says, who is my family? You guys. Who is my family? Those who hear the word of God and obey it. Just kept right on teaching, never missed a beat, didn't cry, didn't go home and cry. He didn't care. He didn't care. Now, he loved them, but here's what love is. You know what we think love is? I'm going to be all mushy-gushy. Now, if you're mushy-gushy, that's nice, and I should be more that way, and that's great. But let me tell you something. Real love is this. I will die for you in order to help you come closer to God so you will stand on that day. That's the kingdom mindset God is talking about. If it costs my life, here's what Paul said, I would even be accursed that Israel might know him. What does that mean? I would go to hell and burn forever if these guys could go to heaven. Where did he get that mindset? Where did he get this mindset? I'm writing this letter to you. I'm in chains, but the gospel isn't chained. I can still write to you and encourage you. In chains, in muck, in mud, rats running across his feet, but worried about them. They're sitting around a feasting table. All is well for them. Would we do that? He was so transformed in the area of kingdom mindset, his only concern was them. He said, what is my joy and my crown even you? Because if you guys, basically paraphrase, if you guys don't make it, how will I stand on that day? You're my joy and my crown. And see, once you start to think this way, when somebody hurts you, you start thinking, where's your heart at with God? Are you going to make it? Are you going to stand before the king? Are you going to be okay? And is there something I can put in you? What, I hate your guts. That's okay. What are you doing with Jesus? Do you know the Holy Ghost? See, it changes the way you think. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you seek him, his grace will come on you to be transformed, to begin to see how God sees it. And I'm telling you, I don't know too many people that seek this. But I really believe that this is how it was before the fall. I believe I have God's permission to share this. I don't share this everywhere. I had a 20-hour experience with God. And during this 20-hour experience, I was taken back to the Garden of Eden, and I was allowed to see what his intention was when he made us. And if you could see Adam and Eve before the fall, you know who Adam was like? He was like Jesus, because Jesus was, he was the last Adam. Before they fell, they were utterly perfect. They had utterly perfect communication with God. God showed up in person, face to face. That was broken. Our spiritual perception was broken and perverted at the fall. Great darkness came upon the earth and our thinking, so that now even when God spoke clearly, we couldn't really hear it. Okay? A lot of things happened, but one of the things, there's many we could talk about, but one of the main things God showed me is that Adam's very nature before the fall was God first. What's in it for God? Now, we're born again and we want to be that way, but the truth is, think about it. If somebody asks you to go to an event, the first thing you're going to think about is that going to be good for me? Will I receive? Does that fit my schedule? But as we come more and more into God, God's trying to transform us to say, maybe there's somebody there I can help. Maybe there's something there I can do to build the kingdom in somebody. And it doesn't matter if it's one or 50, there's something we can do in them, and we begin to think in a different way. That's actually how Adam thought, and that's how Jesus thought. And the fall made us, what did it do? We took on Satan's nature, which is me, 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 me. And we want honor. What did Satan want? Remember the five I wills, I'm going to ascend the throne of God. Well, how dumb can you get and still breathe? I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. No, you're not. But he wanted to because he wanted honor, he wanted glory, he wanted to be revered, and he wanted the power. That nature, listen to me, came on us. Have you ever seen a Christian go after the power in a wrong way? I've seen people try to take over a ministry, take over a church. Where does that come from? It comes from Satan. And if we don't get renewed, we want to walk like Jesus. You know, we love to say, oh, Jesus, I want to be like you. And so we think there's this button in heaven. The big red button, change me. Boop, you're changed. You're just going to be great now. No. You know what God does? When you say, change me, and some of you have said with all your heart, Lord, I'll do anything. Change me. What God does is he begins to confront you with who you are. Because the problem God has is he willfully gave us free will. He doesn't want robots, and he doesn't want people that he just pushed the button and made it right. Okay? He wants people who will continually choose the higher way. So God will never make us do anything, even change. So when you say, change me, Jesus, what he begins to do is confront you with your ickiest thing. And what he does is stick somebody in your face that just drives you crazy. He's going to put the one person that just, you know, or with the one habit. And he's doing that not because he's trying to change them, but he's trying to, what he's doing is holding up a mirror and going, Holly, I think you have a little issue there. See, and, and then what happens, we need to go through the process of praying into that and saying, okay, I see, Lord, I have a problem. See, for years, I was praying for somebody to be changed that had horrendous problems with perversion. They got so demonic, it was hard to even stand near them because it was so gross, to be honest with you. I thought it was about changing them. I prayed and prayed and fasted and fasted and prayed and prayed. They weren't changing. They grew rather worse. I couldn't understand it. Finally, one day it dawned on me. God wasn't trying to change them. They weren't praying to be changed. They didn't want to be changed. They liked their demons. Thank you. You know what? If somebody wants their demons, if you kick them out, they'll go get them back. And seven more besides. Yes, they will. If somebody wants their devils, and there's people who want to be seen, can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but I'm just going to say it so you know. There's people who want to be seen as godly and favored as holy, but they want to be in open sin too. Now, I don't understand that. It's called a divided heart, but it does exist in the church. It's hard to understand. So one fine day it dawned on me, God wasn't the least bit interested in changing that person. He wanted to change me. And so then I said, oh, you know, and that makes sense because that's what I prayed for. God is trying to deal with me. And I began a journey of change Holly. And I went after it. And because we don't have, here's the twist, we don't have the ability to even change ourselves. But I did know about God's ability. I did have a revelation of his grace, which is his ability to change me. And so instead of me saying, you know, I've got this one issue and I want it changed. Lord, change this. You know, I was praying that. But I began to go to God and say, okay, start my transformation process. What do you want to deal with first? Because when I came to Christ, I'm going to be very honest with you, I had a lot of luggage, a lot of baggage. And even though I was born again, I wasn't immediately perfected. I had some trash to take out. And the reason was I got saved at 15, lived like the devil for 11 years, and then made Jesus Lord. That's two separate things. Some people say the sinner's prayer so they can get out of hell, you know, so they won't burn with fire, but they've never made Jesus Christ Lord of their life. That's a whole different thing. And so after 11 years, I went back again in my bedroom, kneeled down on my knees and said, Jesus, from this day on, you're Lord and I'm not. From this day on, I said, I'm making one decision, and I would recommend this. If you never do anything else, do this. It'll change your whole life. Change everything about your life. He said, from this day I'm making one decision, is that I don't make decisions anymore, you do. You're God and I'm not. And that means big ones, little ones, you're running this show. Because everything you give to me is I've just screwed it up. And I proved that to myself. But now the problem is, I went out and got all these. I was a saved pile of junk because I'd been born again and gone out and done all kinds of trash. So now I've got the trash, but my heart is right. What do I do? How do I get free? You know, we like to pretend we've got it all together, but the truth is we all need some help, don't we? So I went to God and I began to really seek transformation. Big things, little things, all things. So I knew that He knew better than I did what needed to be dealt with first. So I began a journey every day. Lord, what do you want to deal with now? He would say, remember when you said that thing?
Yes.
Do you know why you said that thing? You know, if you have, I'll give you a little example. I didn't know where we were going here tonight, but we just have to go with God. Let's say that you're normally a very nice person. And you have a certain type of behavior pattern that's consistent with your personality. And then out of the blue, you do or say something that is out of keeping with your normal behavior. That's usually a little signal that there's something you need to deal with, okay? Like out of the blue, rare, you know, when you're normally a calm person. It could be different for everybody, but one of the things God showed me is, I want to deal with that. I don't just want to deal with you did it, you know. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, no problem. But what I'm after is the change so I don't do it anymore. I'm after a transformed life where I'm now rising above that. And there is such a thing as being delivered to the uttermost, where some things are gone and they never came back. You understand? Some things you can be so set free from where it's just never an issue again. We have some chairs, I think, back in there. And there's an empty one up here. Come on up. Just come right on up. So I began this long journey with God, and layer after layer after layer, I began to get deliverance. I began to get... Okay. Amen. All right. Okay. So I began to get more and more free, and one of the reasons I want to tell you this is the more free you get, the more flow you can flow in. So picture a pipe that's full of stuff. You can only get a little bit of water through it. But as you start cleaning out the junk, you can flow more and more and more. And I began to understand that when I would get set free from something, that became an area where I could minister to others with a great flow. So let's say you've been free from drugs. Now you are likely going to be able to flow very freely in that area to deliver somebody. Okay? And so God is trying to raise us up in revelation knowledge. So we'll go back to the flow now for a minute. God wants the church raised up to a place where it is normal operating procedure for us to move in the Holy Spirit all day, every day. All of us. And so God wants he wants you to understand that that is for everybody. So God wants to talk a little bit about hearing His voice. Now I know all of you hear Him at times and seasons. But God is trying to increase the frequency and the revelation of it, okay? So when you first start, you might only ask God about the big things. You might seek Him when you first start. Maybe you'll fast pray. Maybe you'll eke out a word and somebody will confirm it. And you go, yay. And you know, some people believe that's the only way God talks. It's very rarely. God said something. You know, God taught me how to hear Him. He had to teach me because I didn't know anything. And I didn't know any prophetic ministries. I didn't know there was such a thing. And I, by the way, wasn't trying to be prophetic, to be in ministry. I just needed to know what He wanted for me, for my life. Because remember, I said, I'm not making decisions, you are. Well, that puts me in a position of needing to know what He thinks all the time. So God is trying to raise us to a place where talking to Him and hearing Him is as normal as if you call a friend on the phone. That normal, that regular. And God said something to me once when He was teaching me. He said, some people think that I'm like this. Let's say you meet a friend for coffee. You haven't seen him in 2 months. You sit across from each other in the booth and you say, well, how are you? Well, how's your family? He said, people think I'm like that, that I'm not going to answer them. He said, I will talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to anybody that will train themselves to listen. Well, the problem some people have is they're trying to listen with these ears or with their mind. But remember, God said in His Word, He said, God is Spirit. And those who worship Him, we must come to Him. It's our spirit man. That's where we hear, That's where we got revelation. That's where revelation knowledge comes from. It's not into your brain. You have lots of understanding in your brain, especially if you've read the Word a lot or sat under a good pastor. You have knowledge, which is good. But that knowledge won't turn into power until it becomes revelation or experiential knowledge, okay? Which is a matter of the heart. You've heard the old saying, something sank 18 inches, suddenly I got it. I've known it all my life. I've had scriptures that I had memorized for years, and one day, boom, came alive, instantly healed. I mean, that's happened to me. You know, wasn't even thinking about it. I was cleaning the bathroom sink. Boom, a scripture comes alive, and suddenly I'm healed. What's that? It's revelation by the Spirit. So we have to learn who's on the inside. We have to learn how to listen to our spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit in us instead of our head all the time. And that's where the trouble is. There's some people who've wanted to be filled with the Spirit and maybe wanted to receive a prayer language, and they've struggled with that because, like in my case, I thought there would be lightning and thunder, and suddenly I would have this. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. It was a very still, tiny voice. I actually thought it was me. And sometimes that's how it is. God talks. There's some people I'm talking to right now. God has spoken to you, and you've said, no, I think that's just me, or I think that's the enemy trying to trick me. But listen to me. A lot of times that's God. And we've kind of said, well, I think God would talk louder. He doesn't. The Holy Spirit in you is a still, small voice. So I want to go back to something the Holy Spirit said earlier. He waits for us to ask Him so He can solve the problem. And He'll wait a year. He'll wait 2 years. If we never ask, we won't get that kind of help. And we'll struggle through the problem. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost bypasses if we learn how to cooperate with Him and be closest friends with Him, get to develop a friendship with Him until He's your closest friend. What can happen, how He taught me this, I knew a couple and they were in serious trouble. And by the Spirit, I knew what the answer was. I had the Word, I knew it, but they didn't want to hear it from me. Okay? You can have that happen where you've got the answer from God, it'll help them, they don't want to know. And I was crying. I said, Lord, I feel so bad. I know this is what you want to say to them. And I feel like they're in the kitchen with this problem. I'm standing out on the porch knocking on the door, and they won't let me in. And listen to what he said to me. He said, that's exactly what my people do to me. Holy Spirit said that. I'm standing on the porch. Every answer to every problem they will ever have, but they don't or won't, or don't know how to open the door to let me solve the problem or let me tell them what to do. If you studied the Bible much, you know that often what he'll tell people to do may seem a little odd. Abraham, take your son, your only son, and kill him. What? Really? That can't be God. I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, God wouldn't say that. But see, Abraham was friends with God. That's a different relationship. He hung out with him. He knew him. He knew him well. And he knew it was God. And he had enough faith, because he said, something like me and the boy will be back. We will be back. He had enough faith. See, God will often tell you to do something that's very peculiar in your situation. You say, well, that won't work. Sometimes he'll tell you something in business. God is very good in business. God is very good at science. When I was a programmer, a systems analyst, there would be times when I'd have something that's just too much for me, and I'd go out in the car and say, Lord, I need some help. I've tried everything I know, and I would just rest, just go in a state of rest. Oh, that'll work. And it would. Now, I feel like, I know that some of you are saying this is the ABCs, but I really feel like this is what God's doing tonight, so be patient. We'll go deeper. We'll go deeper tomorrow, I promise. But what God is saying to us, if you don't know how to operate in the realm of rest, that rest, it's the only thing God told us to labor to enter into. Labor. Labor to learn. Labor to enter into rest. Rest is a place in your inner man. It's not just not working. It's not just taking a day off and relaxing. That's good, but that's not this. The place of rest is where you go into communion with the Holy Ghost. And in that place, you will hear God. You will know. He will talk to everybody different. Some people may have a picture in your mind's eye. Some people just may come out and know. There's a place you can go where you're in a state of rest, and you never have to. Once you get it, at first it'll be here and there, okay? But as you live in this thing, it will become who you are, okay? Just becomes who you are. I am always restful. It is very hard to get me ruffled. You could set a bomb off, a place could go on fire. Am I speaking the truth? She lives with me, so she knows. I mean, it's pretty hard to get me riled. I just don't, you know, because first of all, I've died to all that. Nothing matters. God's going to fix it. I know He'll fix it. It's not a problem. But I didn't always know that. I used to be a screaming Mimi. But I learned about the place of rest, and in that place, you can actually dwell in a peace, the peace of God, and abide there, and it's never moved. You're never moved. Nothing moves you. And so, I mean, we had an explosion in our house. This was thrilling. We had a pipe in the basement. It was about this big burst, and, okay, this is a little gross, raw sewage is pouring into our basement. You know, 20 years ago, that would have been a big deal. But, you know, I know God. And I know he'll deal with it. I know he'll pay for it. He'll figure it out. He'll get the right person in there. And he did. See, what we, you know, before we know him well, we freak out. We panic. We call the prayer line. We do all the stuff. And then we try to work ourselves into faith. And then finally we see God move and we go, oh, God is good. He helped me. But eventually, like Abraham, as we get to know him, you get to know what he will do. I remember I said I'm going to give you some examples of Holy Ghost bypass. Some of you, again, may have heard this, but Edgar came in one day from snow blowing. We live in Chicago where there's a lot of snow sometimes, and there was a deep snow. Now, I knew the rule that older people should not shovel, but I didn't know they weren't supposed to blow snow. I thought, you know, it's a self-driven thing. It does the work. That's what I'm thinking. Well, that's not the problem. It's the cold, because cold constricts your arteries. And so if you have an issue, it'll show up. So older people are not supposed to blow snow either, or even be out too long. Well, I didn't know that. Edgar didn't know that, and he was out blowing snow. And he came in, and he looked really bad. I mean bad. White, pasty, sticky looking, holding his belly. He said, I don't feel good. He said, I really don't feel good. And I just flipped the switch. Lord, he said, he's okay. He's okay. Oh, okay. Well, see, now, again, 30, 20 years ago, I might have been like, really, really, are you sure, are you sure? Really, do you mean it? Really, is he okay? I know God. If he says he's okay, he's okay. So I said, Edgar, listen, I just heard from God. He says you're okay. Edgar said, okay, he sure felt crummy. The day goes by, he's feeling worse and worse. He said, listen, I really think I should go get this checked. I said, that's fine. I'll support you. You want to go to the doctor? No problem. We'll get it tested. But I really believe God said you're okay. The next day comes, he says, I got to go get this tested. I said, no problem, let's go. So he goes over and he has the test, and they said, oh, Mr. Bailey, this is bad. You've got a bad problem. It's bad. And the whole time the Lord's going, he's okay. They do put him on all the machines. They say, we are putting you in an ambulance. We are taking you to the hospital. He said, I'm not paying for an ambulance. Let my wife come and get me. He said, no, he said, I'll drive. They said, you're not driving anywhere. So he called me. I took him over to the hospital, immediately, I park the car. By the time I get in, he's surrounded by doctors. They're doing all this stuff. Same thing. This is really bad. We got to open you up and all this stuff. The whole time, the Lord's going, he's okay. So he stayed overnight. The next day, I go back in to see him, and he says, they want to do this, and they want to do that, and they want to put this thing in and do all this stuff. And I said, Edgar, whatever you decide, God's going to work this out. It's okay. God's got this. Whatever you decide, I'm with you. He said, I'm okay, aren't I? I said, you're okay. So Edgar says, the doctor, I want to go home. The doctor says, oh, no, Mr. Bailey, no, please, you cannot go home. Another lady walks in. She's a cardiologist. They both were. And she knew Jesus. And he said, I'll be better off at home with my wife and Jesus than here in this hospital. And that lady said, send him home. He knows what he's talking about. So I take him home. Now, bear in mind, he is still feeling crummy, really crummy. But we have the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor, okay? Go to the doctor if you need to. But if God tells you something, you obey God, okay? And in our case, God was telling us something. So for days, he's not feeling real good. And the doctor had said this. The doctor said, I'll let you go on the condition you come back next Friday and get this tested. He said, I'll be there. I'll come in and have it tested again. Wednesday comes. He calls me at work. He said, guess what? I said, the pain's gone. He said, the pain's gone. I said, what happened? He said, well, I'm laying in bed, and the Lord said, Edgar, turn on your left side. He said, Lord, you know I can't. You know that hurts so bad. The Lord said, Edgar, lay on your left side. Edgar goes, okay, sir, and he turns over on his left side. He said, something went and left his body, And Edgar lived out many, 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 many years. He went, by the way, he went back Friday, and they found nothing. Nothing. No problem. Now, see, that's a Holy Ghost bypass. We could have gone through the other kind of bypass, and the surgery, and the bills, and all that, and the sweating, and the fretting. We could have done that. And I'm not saying that that will always be the word God will give you. But the word He gives you, it's true. But what I'm trying to say is I couldn't have known that if I hadn't walked with Him a long time in relationship. Abraham walked for years with God. He knew Him. They were friends. God showed up at his house. You can have a relationship with God where God is your closest friend. Okay? And so God wants us in a place where we are close to Him. And if the whole world goes amok, we say, Lord, what are you doing here? And He says, this is what I'm doing. Go over here. Go to that corner. He told one brother, some of you people might know him, this brother was a minister. He said, go over and stand on the corner by that bank. Just stand there and wait. Okay. That's the Holy Ghost. He knows not why. He goes and he stands on the corner, and a man comes that's a multimillionaire. He says, I want to support your ministry. I didn't know how to reach you. He opened an account and transferred, I can't remember if it was 1 million or more than 1 million. This man was an evangelist, goes all over the world. Go stand on the corner. See, most of us would just go, oh, that's just the enemy talking to me. So God wants to train us to hear Him well. But the only way it can happen, you know, the old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. So here's how God taught me. Forgive me for doing the ABCs, but some people really need to hear this. I said to God, I have to know your voice. I have to know it's you. I have to know it's accurate. And then I said these words, I want you to train me. Not just talk to me, train me. Well, here's how God trained me. It's going to sound wacky, but I'm kind of a wacky person. I used to work in this corporation, and every day at lunch, I would walk downstairs, get in my car, and say, where do you want to go? Now, God wouldn't say, I want you to go to thus and so store. He would say, back out. Okay. And the whole time, my flesh is saying, this is not God. So I go up to the stop sign. Okay, not God. Turn right. Okay, I'll play along. Totally not thinking it's God. This went on for 2 solid years. Every time I obeyed Him in the face of thinking that I was nuts, He would give me a divine connection. Somebody that I could either minister to, give a word to, or lead to the Lord. Every time. Every time I didn't obey Him, He would show me what would have happened if I had obeyed Him. Well, after 2 years of that, you become pretty confident that it's Him. But here was the clincher. Some of you heard this, but one day I was working in a city called Oak Brook. Oak Brook was kind of a foofy city with lots of money and a big mall with the really high-end stores, okay? Especially at one end of the mall, the really high-end stores. So we're doing turn left, turn right. It's not God, it's not God, but I'll play along. And I end up parked outside of Neiman Marcus. And I'm thinking, it's my lunch hour, A. I don't think they have food. And a sweater is $470. It's my lunch hour. God says, go in. Okay, I'll play along. God says, go downstairs. Okay. Totally thinking it's not God. I get downstairs and God says, go into the restaurant. Now, when I say God, I mean the Holy Spirit. He says, go into the restaurant. And I said, there's no restaurant here. And God said, in this tone of voice, ask the lady at the candy counter. So, okay, I go to the lady at the candy counter. I said, excuse me, is there a restaurant here? She said, oh, yeah, go right down that hall. I go down the hall thinking, well, maybe it's God. Now, I've got my Bible. My plan is I'm going to order. I'm going to read my Bible till the food comes. I show up with my Bible, and the waitress says, oh, you're reading the Bible. We have a divine encounter. I have a word for her, and I'm like, this is totally God. So that was just one of many times. But as I began to have these experiences, I began to learn it's like walking on water. The first step is a little bit like, but then you, oh, that was God. Oh, that was God. And you grow in it until you can pretty much just branch out there, okay? So God may give you a word for your life or for someone else. You may deliver it, and you may be like, I don't want to deliver it. What if I'm wrong? How am I going to look? What will I look like if I'm going to look like an idiot if I'm wrong? But you know what? You don't have to show up and say, thus says the Lord, hallelujah. You don't have to do that. Just go up and say gently, you know, I was praying for you, and I had this impression. I had this sense. Does that seem like it bears witness to you? And if it's God, they'll usually burst into tears or say, oh my gosh, how did you know? Or something. Not always. Some people are stoic and they'll just, you know, and then you're like, uh-oh, you know. But usually there will be something that shows you there was accuracy. Now, God wants to use some of you in what's called word of knowledge. Okay, and I have several anointings, but one is word of knowledge. It's a secret that there's no way I could know. Okay, the first time I encountered word of knowledge, a total stranger walked up to me and said, "Do you have a problem with your back?" And I said, "No, I'm battling the flu." And she said, "Did you fall off a horse when you were a kid?" Okay, now you have my attention. I fell off a horse at the age of 15, fractured my spine, simple fracture. My spine healed wrong. My tailbone was 2 inches off center. No one knew that, not even my parents. They knew I'd fallen off, but nobody knew how off my back was. She said, "May I pray with you?" "Yeah, you certainly may." She didn't even pray. She touched my shoulder and said, "Jesus," and my back was healed. Well, I was young. I was full of the Holy Ghost, but I was young and I didn't know much. I was like, that was too cool. God shows up, tells a lady a secret, gives me a healing. I wasn't even in faith. I didn't even know about faith yet. And so a little while later, I'm reading in the Bible and I come across the gifts of the Spirit and I read about the word of knowledge. And I said this to God. I said, "Lord, if it would be okay with you." See, I didn't know He wants all of us to operate in the gifts freely. He wants us to. Because when you operate in a gift of the Spirit, truly, and not your flesh pretending, okay, I'm just going to throw that out there for the flesh humans. If you operate in a true gift of the Spirit, you have just proven to somebody that God is real, that He cares for them, and they will immediately say, "I want that. That's God, and I want it." Okay? It's a call to come close to God. God wants to use all of us in that. And I was born probably the shyest person on the face of the earth. So I can do this. Anybody can do it. So what happened to me was when that happened, I said this prayer because I was a little bit ignorant. I said, "Lord, if it'd be okay with you," I didn't know it was, "I'd like to help people the way that lady helped me." Okay? I have an encounter with God, a simple thing. Someone prayed for me. And I began to have odd things happen in prayer. I would see a little picture in my mind's eye. Now, you will have it probably different. It may be a picture in your mind. It may be a word in your inner man. It may just be a strong unction, like I just sense this. But what it is it's something that will help someone. A gift is always to help someone. A word of knowledge is never to condemn them or judge them. It's not so you can have an opinion about them. It's to help them. So one of the toughest words God ever gave me, I'm at the church picnic. We're at a park. Everybody's grilling out, and there's this woman. If a woman can be a giant, this woman was a giant. This woman had to be like 6'3", and she was a big person. And she's talking to me, and she's so sweet, and the Lord said, "Homosexual." I'm like, "I'm not saying that." He says, "Homosexual." "I'm not saying that." So finally, he wouldn't go away, so I said, "Excuse me," and I said her name, real sweet, gentle. I said, "Have you been dealing with temptations in the area of homosexuality?" She said, "I sure have. And I've been crying out to God to deliver me." She's crying out to God for help. That places a draw on the gift in you and in me. God gives you the answer. The person is always prepared or ready before you show up. So I've never been embarrassed. God has never embarrassed me. And so what began to happen was He would show me things to do to lay my hand and the person would be healed by word of knowledge. I wasn't in faith yet. I didn't yet understand faith. I do now, but I didn't then. I began to understand that a word of knowledge is a container of power. It's not just information. It is a container of power to change the thing. Okay? So, for example, Catherine Kuhlman says to somebody in the back row in a stadium, someone's deaf ears are being opened. Okay, my husband was sitting about the next row down and three seats over, and he hears a lady's ear pop. If Catherine hadn't spoken it, would it have happened? No. Because a word of knowledge, God wants to use somebody's mouth to speak it into existence. What have you done? You've released power into the earth. God's trying to raise us up to release power in the earth to change things. We've allowed the devil to run things through his kids. They know how to talk. How do witches do the work they do? They talk. They pronounce junk. They light a fire, burn a sacrifice. Silly. Right? But see, he knows, he's working God's system. That's all it is. It's God's system. That's all he knows how to do is counterfeit. And the problem is God's people are the ones going, I have a sacrifice. It's the blood of the King, the only holy sacrifice, the one, the only, the Lord of all lords, King of all kings. I got all power. It says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We need to begin to rule over him. Tell him what we will and will not allow. If a friend that says, what you tolerate, that's what you'll have to put up with. We've tolerated too much stuff. We've tolerated sicknesses we shouldn't, aches and pains that we shouldn't. We've tolerated issues that we shouldn't. We've tolerated some things. But we need to begin to use the Word of God and the Word of the Spirit to change the thing. Because that's how stuff is changed on the earth. Power in heaven. You know, on earth, we're so carnal. We think power is like big muscles or a big caterpillar machine. In heaven, God didn't do any of that. He said, let there be. Boom. Let there be. Boom. And see, because the word of the Lord. So when God gives you a word of the Lord, it's no longer me, but Christ who lives in me. I'm giving him my voice. So earlier, some of you were here, some of you weren't. God gave me to take authority over a spirit of torment. Well, because I knew that was him and not me. I knew that was him and not me. Then I also knew that when I told that thing to go, guess what? It had to go. Because it wasn't me, it was Christ in me. See, God is, he's looking for your voice in the earth. He's looking for a people whose ears are open and whose mouth is engaged to speak the word of the Lord in the earth. That's how we change things. So we've been given dominion over the earth. Adam was given the earth. Listen to me, Satan was not the intended prince of this world. Adam was. Read Genesis 1. You know the story. God gave him dominion over the birds, the fish, the animals, and then it says, over all the earth. Jesus died to seek and save that which was lost. Not just the souls that were lost, but all that was lost in the garden, including 100% dominion, 100% face-to-face communion, right? How did God interact with Adam? Face to face. He was in the garden in the cool of the day, walked with him, talked with him. Jesus died. Listen. Oh, hallelujah. After the fall, there were cherubim with flaming swords guarding the way to the garden. But Jesus shows up and says, I'm the door. What's the door? He said, he talked about the shepherd, he talked about the door, and he said, the sheep will go in and out and find rest. When I read that, I thought, in and out. If he was just talking about heaven, he'd say, my sheep will go in. They go in and out. What does that mean? In and out of a place in the kingdom where we operate. Whether you know it or not, you are not a mere mortal. You are a heavenly being that's placed in a place to do a work, but you can't do it in your flesh. You can't do it by the earthly methods. God bless the church. I love the church, but I don't think they've known some of this or taught some of this, so we've been operating at a low gear. We've been trying to do the stuff in our flesh. So we've tried to be holy with outward holiness. But that's not true holiness. True holiness is you go hang out in the Holy of Holies. You go abide. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What happens is a holiness of God overcomes you. You say, I'm too messy to go in. That's when you're supposed to go in. I'm a mess. I'm coming in. Good, I'll clean you up. I'll kiss you, I'll hug you, I'll wash you clean, and I'll send you out in power. And holiness will become an outflow, an outworking of who I am in you. That's the holiness. You don't have holiness of your own, but dwelling in you, there is a communication plank. You're like I see in pictures, and I'm trying to give them words. God wants to do a thing in you and through you that releases heaven into earth. That's the point. That's what happened with Jesus. Listen to this scripture. Jesus said himself, the Son, talking about himself, can do nothing of himself. What? The Son of God, the living King, the one and only name above every name, can do nothing? How can that be? See, we think Jesus... I used to think that Jesus just had a whim, so he'd heal somebody one way and then another. Sometimes he'd cast a devil out, sometimes he'd lay hands, sometimes he'd put a mud, sometimes he'd spit and touch their tongue. What was that about? He said, I can't do anything by myself, but only what I see my Father in heaven doing. How was he seeing? Spirit to spirit. Jesus never did a single miracle until the Holy Ghost came upon him at the River Jordan. After that, miracles everywhere he went. Why? The divine connection with heaven. Being filled with the Spirit, I know most of y'all are filled with the Spirit. But there's more. There's so much more than just getting your prayer language. It's a communication link that allows us to actually go into a place with the Father, fellowship with Him, get the plan and work the plan. And it's not even hard. It's actually easy because you can actually do it from a place of rest. You can do more work from a place of rest than you can from your flesh. You can get more done when you just go about, you know, just doing it, you know, not stressing, not fuming, not worrying. You can do more from a place of rest because you're doing it out of the anointing. And you're trying to do something and He says, no, don't work on that. Go work on that. Okay. See, because He knows how to get it all done. You know, we don't have to stress. I'm telling you, there's a higher place. And God's trying to raise us up into a completely different lifestyle so that we understand that we are like Jesus, heaven on earth. Again, I don't know how to teach this. I'm going to give you an example. Am I, is this too long for y'all? You okay? Okay. God teaches me sometimes by example. When I was a young preacher, and I didn't know how to just let her rip, okay? I didn't know how yet. So I would agonize because I had the fear of man. And I was afraid I would sound stupid or preach wrong, okay? So I would fast and I would pray and I would get a message from the Lord and I would go and deliver it and be nervous the whole time and then go home being beat up thinking it was awful, okay? That's how I started. And one day I'm asked to come and preach at this very large conference in a very fancy hotel, and it's men and women. And they have a workshop, and the men have this world-famous speaker, and they go off in their workshop, and I've got a bunch, probably 75 women, and I have no message. I haven't got a clue. I don't have a scripture. I got nothing. And I remember thinking, and seeing the clock tick, and I'm thinking, Lord, I got nothing. Lord, would you please give me something? I don't have any. Tick. Then they come, and they say, listen, there was this other lady who was going to preach in front of you, but she can't come, so guess what? You're preaching her time, too. Tick. Tick. You know, they're not even doing the worship. They're just, I'm just going to stand up and I got nothing. And so I did the only thing that made sense. I said, let's all pray. So these ladies knew how to pray. They start praying in the Spirit. They are praying. They knew what they were doing. It wasn't about a minute when I see the first sentence. I'm like, oh, I got the first sentence. I begin to speak and instantly something happens. I am aware that I'm in a room full of people. There's a wooden podium in front of me. I'm very aware. Now, let me tell you what the women are doing. Some of them were literally falling out of their chairs, sobbing, weeping, the presence of God comes. But here's what I'm also aware of. That's where my physical body is. I'm aware that I'm in the throne room, standing in front of the Father. My back, He is behind me. He is telling me what to say in my spirit man. It's coming out my mouth here in the earth. That, I believe, is a picture of how Jesus did most of what He did. We may not always be aware of it, but what I'm trying to tell you is your citizenship is in heaven. You're seated in heavenly places. You've been made, these are scriptures, you've been made complete in Him who is the head over all principality, power, might, and dominion. You're living in another place, but the problem we have is we haven't known how to get there or how to focus on it or how to learn it. Okay, but the Holy Spirit has been given us to us to mentor us. Jesus said, you have no need that any man should teach you, but I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, who, by the way, is a virtual image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you remember what I said earlier? If they wanted to know what Jesus said, they had to go find Jesus. Okay, so if He was out in the desert, they had to go out in the desert. But once this happens, they have Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit living in them, so all they have to do is say, Lord, what are you saying now? How about now? What are you saying now? What do I do with this? And so the disciples learned how to move in the Holy Ghost. They didn't just get filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't just get their tongues. They learned how to move in complete tandem with the Holy Spirit under His power, speaking His words. So Peter shows up at the gate. Beautiful. Here sits a man who has never walked in his life. He's been lame from birth, and everybody in town knows him. He's at the gate, beautiful, every day. Guess what? Jesus walked by him every day. Everybody that goes to prayer goes into the temple every day at the same time. All the men go to prayer at that time. They're all walking by him here, you know, and all of a sudden the gift of the Spirit shows up. This man is looking at them, hoping to receive something. Peter looks at him, says, silver and gold have I none. He said, look at us. Look at us. He's in the power, right? He's in the power of the Spirit. He says, look at us. Guy looks. He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, what I have. What I have. He didn't say, oh Lord, heal this man. He had a revelation of what was going on in him. And I'm telling you, you did not get less than Peter got. That's been the lie. Oh, they got this much and you just got this much. And Holly has this much and Edgar has this much and Reinhardt, he's got this much. But you just have it. No, that's not true. You know the difference is? They pressed in harder, they pressed in longer. They wouldn't quit. You bug God till he gives it to you. He's not giving it to you. He's giving you revelation of what you already have. He's giving you revelation, but the more submitted you are to him, the more revelation you get. The more kingdom-minded you are, the more revelation you get. People who are selfish, you know, they'll try this stuff and it will never really work for them. They'll go to a certain level and no farther because revelation comes to the kingdom-minded. I'm telling you, the lower you go, the more you submit, the more. Because when you sow your life, what does he give you? His. When you sow the whole of your life, you know what he has to give you? Everything he's got. If you just say, well, I'll give you this and this, but I'm not giving you this and I'm not giving you this. Okay, well, I can bless that and I can bless that, but I can't really bless those. Because he can only bless what we give him. So the things you give him and put under his jurisdiction and completely submit and take your hands off, that he can bless. But if you say, well, I'll give you this and I'll give you this, but you know, this business thing is, I'm doing that. You know, I will run that. Don't tell me how to run that. Well, guess what? You got a long, hard road ahead of you. You know, it's much easier. It's much easier to yield to him and say, listen, here's what I know. Here's the great revelation of my life. I don't know anything. He knows everything. Everything. He knows everything well. And if I will just listen and humble myself and say, you know what, I don't know what to do. Even if I think I know what to do, when I go before God, I know nothing. I come to him with no opinion. Even if he's taught me something and I think I know a little, guess what? I might have a half-truth. So when I come before God, I come knowing nothing. Tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you say. You know, know-it-alls can never hear from God. Did I say that out loud? The opinionated rarely hear from God. The strong personality often will not get blessed because they haven't learned how to submit and yield. Jesus had this saying. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord? You won't do the things that I say. So for me, really the greatest probably day of my life, being born again was, thank you, Jesus, probably the greatest day, but really even greater than that was the day I said, I get it. If I give it to you and let you run it, it will come out great. If I try to run it, it isn't going to come out so great. And from there, it's been a journey of learning how to let him run it, how to hear from him. God wants to give you everything he has. He wants his children to walk in the fullness, including the love of God, the compassion of God. Yes, the power of God, but you know, the love comes first. And God's trying to get us to come to a higher level so that we can receive the fullness of all he has. God wants you to operate in the gifts. God wants you to be blessed in all that you do. God, you know, God loves to bless his children. Loves it. You know, God would love to bless us all, but you know, sometimes we have little blockades. We don't know we have them. And we're looking at something saying, God, why don't you bless me? But we maybe have a little thing we need to deal with, right? You know, maybe a little thing, right? You know, it's not worth it to keep the thing when you could have all of heaven. It's not worth it. You know, we have a little attitude. Well, you know, what we do, we justify it. Well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is if it's stopping you from receiving all. If you have a little bit of unforgiveness, well, I don't really have to deal with that because, you know, that's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. It's a big deal. I'm not going to teach on that. I'm just going to tell you it's a huge deal. Don't justify a problem. Just deal with it. Say, God, I've got a problem. I see it. I've had it forever. I don't know how to fix it, but I believe you can help me. Here I am, Lord, and I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace every day, and I'm going to keep bugging you until this thing is out of me. If it's a false belief system, if it's a crummy attitude, if it's a devil, if it's a stronghold, whatever it is I'm not going to leave you alone until this thing is gone, and then I'm going to come to you about the next thing. And I'm going to keep coming until the day Jesus comes, because I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, because I want to be like him, and I know there's not a button that you can push that's just going to change me. I need to work with you. You need to work with me. Amen? All right, that went totally a different direction than we expected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to say we are so glad you guys are here tonight. And if you're staying for the whole weekend, we are just believing for great things for you guys. We really are. We've been praying. We've been, you know, we just love you guys, and we want to see you walk away victorious in every area of your life. We want you to know Jesus in such a way that when the enemy comes and tries to whisper in your ear, you say, "Go in the name of Jesus," and that thing goes. Yeah. It's that easy. Now, I just want to encourage you. You know, the Lord's put this upon my heart tonight. You know, there's a lot has been delivered tonight, and this is just the beginning. Now, I know most of you love fellowshipping and hanging out and doing things together. I really feel like the Lord is calling us away to be alone with Him so that we can still ourselves to hear and listen to some of the answers of the questions that you've asked Him. He has direction for us, and He wants to give it to us, but some of us are still moving at such a fast pace that we're missing some important things that He wants us to have. So I'm encouraging you to take this time while you're here and seek Him. And you may struggle with being alone, or maybe not having your cell phone, or what are people doing down the road. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you overcome your flesh. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you overcome your flesh, He will help you. So, go for walks, spend time in the Word. Ask Him to teach you how to rest in His presence. Ask Him to show you what that's like. And then when the stuff starts to come up, the thoughts of your mind, ask the Holy Spirit to help you overcome and give you strategies to grow deeper, to come away with Him. So, your best friend may be here, and you may have had plans to go do something tomorrow, but if you hear the Holy Spirit say, "Come away with me," don't miss it. Don't miss it. So, I'm switching gears. I just want to tell you that there's a great book table here with awesome, powerful books. That's Stephanie's table. Please visit that throughout the weekend. There's a table over there with many teachings and CD sets. What is shouting from the rooftops is Going Deeper in God. It's a set over there. And the other one is Kingdom Rulership. One of the things I like about Holly's teachings is she does it so well. She keeps it simple, but it's packed with a punch and full of truth and revelation. She said she was a systems analyst. I'm thankful for that because I don't think like that. My mind does not think like that, but she's able to break things down and feed it out to us. So receive everything you can while you're here. Also, I did record tonight. If you're interested in the message, we'll have to dig out the forms. I wasn't planning on doing that, but I felt like we were supposed to. So if you would like tonight's message, when you fill out the form, write on there the date, like Thursday night, and I think the MP3s are like $2, and if you want a hard copy CD, it would be $6 mailed to you, so you can visit that table, and that can help you with that. Am I forgetting anything?
I want to say,
yeah, so here's the thing. We're not going to be home for a long time, so don't expect it tomorrow, and see, even the MP3, I'm not even going to look at this till we come back to Illinois, so don't ask me if it's done, because it's not. And it won't be for a while. So But when it is, you'll get it. Whether it's through an MP3, you'll get it as an email, or if it's the CD, you'll be like, here it is, it's in the mail. So I will do it when I get back, but you have to understand, we have a lot of meetings, and when I get back, there's going to be mail to open and other responsibilities too, so I have to just wait for the anointing. Hallelujah. So when you fill out the form to order, please make your email so easy that I can read it, because what happens is when I start processing, and if I can't read your email, I have to set it off to the side to deal with it. And then that gets put in a pile for later. So please be very neat when you write, and also specify, is it a CD or an MP3? Because if you don't specify, you get the MP3. Amen? Anything else? Okay, sure, I'd love to. So I also want to talk about partnership. Dun, da, da, da. That's one of my favorite things. I love partnering with ministries. I just love it. And there's an opportunity to partner with Holly's ministry. And what that means is I think the forms are out. I didn't set the table up tonight. Okay, so there's a form on the table over there. And what it is it's an opportunity to sow in the ministry on a regular basis. One of the tangible benefits that you get is it's called the prophetic word of the month, and it's specific just for the partners, and it comes out either as a CD or an MP3, and you decide when you fill out the form, and it's kind of an automated thing, so it's a smooth running system, and basically Holly says, what are you saying to the partners this month? And she sits down and records the word, and it has been, we have so many testimonies to people just growing deeper in the Lord and getting answers to the questions of their hearts. And we have some ministry, we actually have a church that, you know, they do a study on the Word of the Month that is partnered with us. We have people that listen to it over and over and take notes because it's so full of life. You'll get revelation and then you'll do what it says and then you go on from there. So we have some people that have, you know, trouble sleeping, they listen to them. Because it's so relaxing. So if you're interested in partnering, that's one of the tangible benefits. The others, you know, we pray for our partners. We can tell when something's up. We just start praying. We reach out to our partners on a regular basis. And we love our partners. We love to see people grow closer to the Lord. That's our heart, is to connect you with the heart of the Father. And this is one powerful way that we can do that. And the other is, you know, we minister, we go a lot of places, and some places we go wherever the Lord tells us to go, and some people are not very fortunate to, you know, they can't sow in, and so partnership helps with that. You know, we can go in some places we can't receive an offering, and there's travel expenses involved in that, and, you know, so we love our partners because they really have helped, they help us. When the sound, we have problems with the sound, our partners are there to help us with that, so I just encourage you to ask the Lord if that's something you should do, and just be led by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.